Did anybody see that miracle that's happening outside today? I was pretty excited and surprised by that today. Good morning. My name is Jennifer Timpey, and I'm currently serving as the president-elect of the congregation. I started attending this church with my husband, Bob, a little over 3 years ago. Today, I want to share with you the story of my spiritual journey. Like Sabrina mentioned last week, many of you have heard parts of my journey in small classes and groups, so I apologize if it's some things that you've heard before. I grew up as a PK. That's short for preacher's kid, for anybody who doesn't know. I've always been a goody-two-shoes type of girl, so I was okay with that. One thing that made being a PK easier for me, I think, is that my dad, the pastor, was and still is a very open-minded, intelligent, and liberal person. You know, the kind that listens to NPR during the entire 10-hour ride to vacation. Okay. I was brought up in the American Baptist faith, and it was all good as far as I was concerned. Anytime I had a question, after all I had to do was ask my dad, the pastor. And to his credit, I don't remember him ever dumbing anything down to help me understand. Rather, he always treated me like an adult, regardless of what theological question I might pose to him. To his even greater credit, I can still go to him with my theological questions today. This whole scenario of my spiritual life went just fine for me, even into high school, when I became very interested in the sciences. So interested, in fact, that at the expense of taking the fun electives like art and home ec, I decided that I needed to take every single biology and chemistry course that was offered at my school. I knew that I wanted to go to college, and I knew that it was going to be for something in the sciences. And for me, it's still difficult to understand the apparent schism that some people believe has to exist between science and religion. But then, as I neared my graduation, this scenario of calm started to crumble. The church family net that I had grown up with for my entire life fell out from underneath me. During this difficult time, it felt to me like we as a family had gone from the center of our church community to shunned, disconnected, lost, and shut out. And I believe it's safe to say it was a terrible experience for all of us. I tried several times in the following years to start attending a church regularly again, but it just didn't take. For the first time, sitting in the pew, I began to think, do I really believe in all this stuff that they're saying? And I didn't feel that connection anymore. And I began to question what it was that I actually believed. I started to realize over time that I really didn't believe in a lot of it. So I just stopped trying to go. For a couple of years, I felt like I still needed to show up at Christmas and Easter, so I kept doing that. But then after a while, I quit that too. After all, I was busy with a new marriage and my college and my work, and I felt like I didn't really need that stuff anymore. I had my husband, I had my family, I had my school friends. That was good enough for me. I didn't have time to figure out what I believed right now anyway. I was far too busy. Sometime during this hiatus, my younger sister emailed home to me from her life away at college. I never went away, I stayed here. And she was in Champaign-Urbana. I have absolutely no recollection about what was in the rest of the email, but I clearly remember one line. Hey, don't tell Dad, but I started attending the local Unitarian church. What? What kind of church are you going to if I shouldn't tell Dad about it? So that was the first time that I'd ever heard of the Unitarian tradition. And the comment definitely piqued my interest, but I still was not ready to re-enter the whole church thing just yet. So I'm continuing to live my life, getting my degree, starting to work full-time, looking for a home, starting to pay on school loans. Talk about knowing when you're really grown up. Trying to have kids. I think it's impossible to explain to someone who hasn't experienced infertility just what that's like. But it's hard. I can't speak for my husband, but it shook me down to my core. Here is my life, all planned out and executed according to plan. And now it was time for kids. But regardless of how hard we tried, it just wasn't happening. Years passed us by. One night, as I was sitting home alone in my living room, crying my eyes out during a particularly vulnerable infertility crisis type moment, something spoke to me. Maybe it was my own consciousness, maybe it was a collective consciousness, maybe it was that which cannot be named. Some people like to use the word God, I like to use that which cannot be named. It said to me, you can't let being or not being a parent define you as a person. You can't let that define you as a person. And while infertility continued to be something that was achingly painful to me, it no longer shook my bedrock. I was gonna be okay, even if we never had kids. Finally, after years of trying and years of seeking medical help, we as a couple decided we were ready for the big step. We were gonna go ahead and try IVF. Around the same time that we made that life-changing decision, I also started to have this newly seeking need. I'd been listening oftentimes with my husband to the NPR show Speaking of Faith on Sunday mornings. I guess the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. And I was really loving the weekly spiritual feedings that I was getting from it. But it was on another favorite NPR show of mine, This American Life, that I heard about Bishop Carlton Pearson. For any of you who have not heard about his story before, Bishop Carlton Pearson was brought up in the Pentecostal faith tradition, trained by Oral Roberts, and eventually became pastor to a mega church with 5,000 plus members in Tulsa, Oklahoma, I believe. One day when he was sitting at home in his nice house watching his big screen TV with his chubby baby on his lap, watching the Rwandan tragedy and starvation play out on the news in front of him, he came to the realization that he believed that Christianity is not actually the only way to heaven, and that hell is a place that only exists here on earth. And when he started to impart his newfound faith to his congregation, his church membership plummeted from 5,000 to around 200. But he continued to speak what he believed. When I was listening to that show, I had not yet heard of the term universalist, and so I didn't know what that meant. But to hear this story, I learned that I wasn't the only one who felt that what I had been taught might not be the only way to be religious. After all, if Carlton Pearson could stick to his convictions in the face of bankruptcy, loss of parishioners, and be denounced as a heretic, then surely it was going to be okay if I found a faith that worked for me. And if he developed this thought on his own, then I bet he's not the only one who has. The great consciousness later imparted another nugget of wisdom to me on a seemingly mundane drive to work one day. This nugget was a palpable, nearly visible connection of me to all of humanity, past, present, future, and all of humanity to each other. And it was definitely the closest I'd ever come to having a vision. It was so real. I started reaching out with this newly found nugget that I was gripping onto, to one of my kindred spirit friends, Sarah, and we had long spiritually based email conversations that fed and challenged us both. But then I needed more. And then I remembered what my sister had said about that weird church. So I got online and Googled Unitarian Church and found out there's one right here in Alton, and I didn't even have to drive to St. Louis to get to it. I guess I better listen to some of these services on here and make sure that they're not too strange. And they weren't. And so we came, and we came back. And oftentimes, during the first year that we attended this special place, tears would stream down my face as I listened to the words of a hymn or a reading. And one moving moment that particularly sticks out in my mind is the sermon where Sayer invited us to say goodbye to Sarah, if any of you remember that. And then one Sunday, I heard this. We are not isolated beings, but connected in a mystery and a miracle to this universe, to the community, and to each other. And I was like, I know. And I thought to myself, they get it. They understand. And they're seeking too. In the words of my dear friend Michelle, I thought, these are my people. This has been reaffirmed several times over the past few years, and not just spiritually, but physically too. As a new member, you fed us when we were welcoming our miracle children home from the hospital. You give me countless hugs and words of love as I shared my cousin Claire's trials with her battle of cancer. You still give me smiles, you give me your stories, you give me your faith, you share your food, and you share your love. And all of this feeds me. All of this makes this church family a real family to me. I know I can trust it. I know I'm safe. I know also that I have a responsibility to my church family to continue to make this place a nurturing, safe, trusting space that is ready to grow. And each of us shares in that responsibility. I've also learned that this responsibility is something that I have to carry outside these walls, outside this family. If I expect others to have respect for my religious or non-religious beliefs, then I have to have respect for theirs too. Now, I'm not talking about dogma twisted into hate, fear, inequality, and bigotry, but I am talking about all kinds of religion. If a person finds true solace, hope, peace, and love in their religion, whether it be Catholic or Baptist or Christian Scientist or Pentecostal or Buddhist or Hindu or Judaism, Islam, non-religious atheist, humanist, or agnostic, if that religion or non-religion and the way that they practice it makes them a better steward, a better person, a better parent, a better son, a better daughter, a better coworker, a better boss, then that religion is a gift to them, a precious gift to be treasured, not to be mocked, not to be belittled. I understand that many of us, including myself, have a tender spot in our hearts where a past religion that we grew up with has caused us injury and pain, but that doesn't give me the right to denounce it and say that it's worthless. I respect everyone's right to have their own religious beliefs or non-belief. I believe that I have to have this respect if I'm going to expect it of others. And about that which cannot be named, or God, as others might say, my belief is that it is something greater than us, yet within each of us, and within all natural things. My belief is that it is too vast for us to know, too varied for us to name, and too wonderful for us to comprehend, and that we are all closer together than one might think. I want to thank all of you for everything that you do to help keep this church family rolling on. Committees, emails, heart-to-heart chats, washing dishes, singing songs, feeding those in need, giving rides, paying pledges. It takes a village, and I sure am glad to know this is my village.